Before we get started, I just want to say it's a privilege and an honor to serve here and with Pastor Pease, his family, and we appreciate that. And all you guys, I can't mention any names because I'd forget y'all, and you know you all are here, so, and you know y'all's names. But but I appreciate getting we appreciate getting to know you, letting us into your lives, and we'll see what God has in store for the future. Take your Bibles, go to Genesis chapter 19. And we'll start reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bound himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet. And ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto them, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, could pass the house round about, round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out of the door unto them, and shut the door after him. And Lot and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters, which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto me, unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they were wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. If you go to verse 24, the Bible says, Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." I want to preach to you tonight on this subject, four things that Mrs. Lot would want us to remember. Four things that Mrs. Lot would want us to remember. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and hearts before the message tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here. Thank you for all your blessings to us. Just help us, Lord, as we now look into your word. Just show us what it is that you'd have for us tonight. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. When you find and read the Bible and see where the story of Lot begins, it really begins with Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 12, the Bible says that God comes to Abraham and he asks a very hard thing for him to leave his homeland. And then verse 5 of chapter 12, the Bible says that Lot went with him. And from Genesis chapter 12, you see that they head out, they leave the place that they're used to, and they come upon a hard time. A famine comes, and they find themselves down into Egypt. And there, Lot and his wife, they experience the mistakes that Abraham makes and the mercy that God has by getting them up and out of Egypt. And they find themselves going back to Bethel. And here we see that Lot's herdmen and Abraham's herdmen, there's a disagreement on who basically would have first rights at the watering hole, of whose animals or livestock should water first. And we see that it was decided that Abraham said, Lot, we really need to separate ourselves. And Lot says, okay, we'll do that. And they go to a place and Abraham has Lot decide which area he'll choose. And Abraham, you know the story, lets Lot choose. And Lot looks and he looks at the plain of Jordan and it's well watered and he chooses that. And Abraham goes the other way. And we see in chapter 14 that Lot pitches his tent toward Sodom, and then we find a little later that he's dwelling in Sodom, and then in chapter 19 we see that he's a leader in Sodom. And we see all these different things and how that Lot went from being with the guy who followed God to being the guy that's living as a leader in a wicked place such as Sodom. Pretty two extreme, drastic extreme measures. You go from following a man of faith who's following God to finding yourself in a very wicked, wicked city. And how did he get there? Well, first of all, he never made God priority in his life. He was just following Uncle Abraham. I missed part of the story. In chapter, I believe it's either 13 or 14, we see that some bad guys come. These kings align themselves together and they come and they capture Lot. And who goes after Lot? It wasn't the king of Sodom. It was Uncle Abraham. And a servant went that didn't get killed from the ruckus and gets Abraham. And Abraham gets 318 people together of servants, the people that could fight. And he goes and rescues Lot. You would think at this point that Lot and his wife would sit down and have a conversation and say, you know, Sodom didn't give us anything. They didn't come to recapture us. But Uncle Abraham, he's been there all the time. He's let us learn from him. He's made us wealthy by giving us flocks and herds. And he's shown us the way to do smart business. And he even gave us first pick of the property where we wanted to live at. And he came when we were in trouble. And you know, Sodom never gave us anything. But no such conversation is recorded in the Bible. We see here that two angels come and visit Lot in chapter 19. Prior to this visit, there's a conversation between God and Abraham. God comes to Abraham and he says, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know the story. They start out, Abraham says, well, will you spare Sodom if I find 50 righteous people? God says, I'll do it. And then he goes from 50 to 45, and then from 40 to 30, and then from 20 to 10. And he stops there. And the deal is that if Abraham can find 10 righteous people in Sodom, that the city would be spared. And some people preach that God's not a God of mercy. He is. 10 people in Sodom could be easily, if Lot had the right testimony, could have just involved his family and this whole city because of the testimony that Lot should have had, which he should have learned from Uncle Abraham. The whole city would have been spared, but we find it wasn't. So what happened? What would Mrs. Lot want us to remember? Well, number one, she would beg us to remember the consequences of immorality. The consequences of immorality. When you first read chapter 19 and you see the wickedness and the extreme of these people that are living in Sodom, what you have is what I just read. I'm not going to reread it. But these two angels come to Lot, and at first they're not going to stay in his house, but he gets them to come in, and they make a feast. And as the daylight hours wane down, and as the evening hours come up, the men of the city come to the door of Lot and said, "You've got two visitors. Bring them out so that they could have immorality with them." And Lot said, "I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to give you the people that came to peace to my house for you to have sin with." And they pressed him, and you see here that the angels actually smote them with blindness. But that's not good enough for the men of the city. And Lot, says, well, you can't have them, but you can have my two daughters. And he pushes them out the door. And can you imagine what Mrs. Lot would be thinking? But you see, she was fine with that because she had become so complacent with living in Sodom that sin and sanctification were not even in her vocabulary. At least sanctification wasn't. She wasn't used to it. She had no idea at this point what right and wrong were. It was the practice of the day. Well, you can't have the, yeah, daughters go out. And you find that this happens. And there is no happy ending to this story. It keeps on getting worse. Number one, she would beg us to remember the consequences of immorality. And immorality in America is widespread. And sad to say, it's even becoming a practice of the church in America. You go from being dissatisfied and married people having boyfriends and girlfriends and flirting and all that mess that you wouldn't find in the teachings of Jesus, and we pass it off as just pastimes. No, you need to spend your time with your wife, with your family, and keep the devil out of our homes and out of our marriages, and keep a strong. The Bible still teaches on the priority and the necessity of a strong family, a strong husband, a strong wife. And if you let sin and the world creep into your life and into your world, so to speak, you're going to have a messed up family situation. And Mrs. Lot would say, it's not worth it. It destroyed our family. Number one, she would say, remember the consequences of immorality. Number two, she would say, remember the consequences of a ruined testimony. In verse 12, the Bible says, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because of the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the sin. He went to his family, and they didn't believe him. They mocked him because of all of a sudden he's worried about the judgment of God coming and destroying his pleasure house. And he says, it's time to get serious. You need to get out of here before God rains judgment on this city and on our house. And they said, you are living a double life. I don't believe you. There's no way. You are a leader in the city. You are one of us. You have taught us. You gave your daughters to these men of the city, and now you're coming and saying that we need to fear God. We need to escape. Wow, that doesn't make sense. They mocked him. They didn't believe him. They didn't understand him. And the angels see this, and they say, Lot, we got to get out of here. Arise, get the people that are going to come with you and get out. You know, you're never going to have a testimony to the world or to the outside world until you have a testimony with your own family. Don't expect others to believe you when your own family knows you, doesn't respect you, and understands all about you. You won't have it. You can say one thing outside at work, and you can live a life of it looks like upright and someone that has morality, and you can be all that, but at the house, you know, your family really knows all about you. They know if you're living a lie or if you're telling the truth. And you will never have a pulpit or a platform out in public if you don't have a position in your home of one who is telling the truth and one of authority. Number two, remember the consequences of a ruined testimony. Number three, verse 15 and 16. I read verse 15. Verse 16, while he lingered, this is Lot, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Remember the consequences of worldliness. They were comfortable. They didn't want to go. And worldliness is one of those things that when it creeps in, it just seems to leech on and latch onto us. And before, we just become very comfortable, it's a normal thing to us. And then when we have to leave it, we have such a hard time because we're so used to it. We're so happy. We're so content. I want to take you to a verse. This used to be my life verse, but 1 John. Chapter 2, verse 15, 16, and 17. The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." If we can get our minds wrapped around verse 17. We live Christianity so playfully. Sometimes I think, sometimes it's a joke. Because you come so complacent with the world, and the world gets a hold on you. And here, if we really got a hold of these three verses, we would understand what really matters and what really doesn't. Because pretty soon we're all going to die. The Bible says it's appointed unto man wants to die, and after this the judgment. We're not here long. We're just passing through. It's brief. It's a vapor, the Bible says. It's quick. And verse 17, it passes away, and what you've done with the will of God in your life, that's what's left. That's what's true. What kind of testimony do we have? That's what's going to be left for you. Not the fake stuff that we tried to leave for the world to see, but the real stuff, the real you, the real me. See, God, we can play games all day long, but God's up there, and He knows exactly if we're playing a game or if we're living the life. And it's something that if we get a hold of, if everybody in every church got a hold of, we would be having revival very, very quickly. Because when it comes to leaving those things that the world wants us to offer and we rub shoulders with every day, and I'm not saying it's easy, it's hard to forsake those things, leave those things behind. And sometimes you got to remind yourself more than once a day, hey, that's not important. That's not what's best for my life. It's not whether it's good or bad, it's whether it's best for my life. And if it's not best for my life, you know what? God is not pleased if I participate in it. And if I participate in it, and the more I get to like it, and the more I enjoy it, the less I'm effective for God, for His Word, and for other people. And when we're standing before God, what kind of excuses are we going to give? Well, I got kind of comfortable with the world. I got kind of friendly. I was enjoying myself. It's not going to work. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Remember the consequences of worldliness. You know, there's always a price to pay for sin, and oftentimes it's much higher than we anticipated. And we don't want to pay it. Sometimes we can't afford it. But that's the nature of sin. It comes, there's a pleasure in it for a season, and then it leaves us naked, desolate, and empty. And we find ourselves where Mrs. Lot is, thinking, I've got nothing to show for it. You know, they walked into Sodom with animals, with herdmen, with some sense of pride. They've been with Abraham, who had been with Lot. Who had been with God. And now they're leaving, they're fleeing Sodom, being dragged from Sodom, the city that they fell in love with nothing. Number one, remember the consequences of immorality. Number two, remember the consequences of a ruined testimony. Number three, remember the consequences of worldliness. Number four, verse 17, and then we'll go to verse 24. Remember the consequences of looking back. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." Now, so far, we don't know what the consequence is. It just says, God says, don't look back, or else you'll be consumed. Verse 24, then the Lord rained upon, now the Lot and his family are leaving the city, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. I would say Mrs. Lot was a few saddlebags short of a camel load, wouldn't you? I mean, she got instructions prior to leaving the city. Hey, when you leave the city, don't look back. She knows judgment is coming, but yet she looks back one more time. Maybe she was last in line. Maybe she was in the middle. Maybe she was first. I don't know where she was from fleeing the city, but she looks back at the place where she raised her family, at the place where her husband was a leader, at the place where she had a name for herself. She just wanted one more look. You know, sometimes one more look is what'll kill us. It'll bring us down. And she became a pillar of salt. Now, I was wondering, why salt? I mean, wouldn't it have been effective if she became a camel? You know? But the problem is, I've never owned a camel. And never smoked one either. And I've used salt. I know what salt is, and I know what it does. Worldwide, people know what salt is. In fact, Luke even said, even Jesus' teachings says, remember Lot's wife. He's trying to teach the people something. Okay? Why? Because she stands, well, she doesn't stand anymore, she lays. She lays as a reminder to us that God's judgment on sin eventually and always comes. You're not going to dodge it. In chapter 19, it says, let me find it here, verse 16, while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. You suppose Mrs. Lot thought, you know what? God was merciful to get us out. He's going to be merciful. He didn't really mean not look back. He just meant not look back and take a movie at it, you know? He just meant, he wasn't very serious about it. What would be wrong with one more quick glance? And she reasons with herself, and she turns around, she takes a look, and that's her last look. She doesn't turn around again. Can you imagine if she was the last in line? They go 10, 15 yards or whatever it is, and Lot looks back and there's nothing. What's he thinking? He heard the same sentence that the angel said, don't look back or God will consume you. I'm kind of weird. You ever wonder what Lot kind of, like, where'd my wife go? You know what I'm saying? Did he ever find out? Did God ever reveal it to him? I don't know. If he did know, he probably wouldn't eat salt anymore. But, yeah, there's a consequence for sin. And so many times we look at the sin and we look at what we want to do and we say, well, I'll pay for it later. Sometimes we don't even think we'll pay for it later. We just want to do it. We just want to enjoy those pleasures and we want to partake of it. And, you know, payday, that'll come later and I'll just deal with it. I'll live with it. Well, Mrs. Lot didn't do any more living. And if you read the story of Mr. Lot and his two daughters, they still didn't get it figured out. That God was giving them another opportunity to get right, not another day to commit more sin. And sometimes I think we get the mercy of God in our lives and we say, whew, you know, God's been good, and then we live the next day in sin, not in getting right. He just never learned. I wondered this the other day, why is a story like this in the Bible? I mean, there's no good ending. What would be the purpose in having this story of the Lot family in the Bible? Well, I think personally, for a story like this to be recorded for everybody to read and to preach about, not that we will make their mistakes, but we will learn from their mistakes and not repeat those in our own lives. When we can see that there are consequences for sin, it's easier for us to look in other people's life and say, yep, there's consequences for sin. Look what God's doing to them. It's easy to look at the Lot family and say, yep, there's consequences. Look what God did to the Lot family. But it's harder to look in our own life and say, you know, I've got this sin here and to realize that there's consequences for those sins. But there is. Just because we might not admit it, just because we refuse to see it, doesn't mean it's not there and it won't come. It just means we're a little stubborn. We're a little satisfied with our sin. We're a little complacent. And we're happy with where we're at. But with being happy with where we're at, can God use us if we're happy? The purpose of Christians living on earth is not for us to be happy. It's for us to be holy. Usable vessels for God, not dirty vessels that he's got to shake and break and all those different things. And he'll do that. But if we just come in our own will and say, God, I'm tired of playing games. God, I want to be used, and I want to be real in my life and for you. God can get down to business with you, and before long, you'll be the real person with the real goods to some real people that have some real needs. And if God's not going to use you, he's going to have to find somebody else. But wouldn't it be sad to be in heaven and God so much wanted to use us, but we were too dirty? We didn't want to confess. We didn't want to get right. We wanted our immorality. We wanted our worldliness. Yeah, we're kind of disappointed we lost our influence, but we'll accept that. And we just couldn't help look back. Tonight, it's a sad story, but it's a story that we can apply to our lives and say, you know, I don't want to be like Lot. I want to be like Abraham. Now, Abraham had some mistakes too. You remember the story of Hagar? What was the difference? Abraham got right with God. God can use people. We're not going to be perfect people. But you know, when we make a mistake, what's the Bible say? A just man falls seven times and he does what? He gets back up again.
Yes, sir.
God can use people like that. You'll never read a verse in the Bible where God used Lot. But wouldn't it be an awesome testimony to say, you know what, God couldn't use Lot, but through Lot's testimony, God can use me. Because I'm going to allow the testimony of Lot and what Mrs. Lot would beg us to remember to have an impact on my life and to get rid of the sin that I love, that I like, that I pet sometimes, get rid of that and be a useful vessel for Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this story.